You're listening to Insights with Exonia Bank, a series of conversations from our experienced team of bankers. Today's host is Patrick Lubar, Vice President of Commercial Lending, and he will be talking with Omar Sheck, a highly active member of the Milwaukee business community. Omar is the owner of Carnivore Steakhouse and partner in the 3rd Street Market Hall, currently under construction in downtown Milwaukee. In addition to other numerous business ventures, Omar is chair of Visit Milwaukee and a board member with many other local organizations, including the Wisconsin Center District and Sharp Literacy. I'm happy to introduce Patrick and Omar.
All right, Omar, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Really appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
You have been a very active and visible member of the Milwaukee business community for some time now. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you got your start in the hospitality and restaurant industry. Take me through a little bit of your history and how you eventually came to own Carnivore.
Yeah, so I got my start really working the door to different types of bars and nightclubs. And so when I was in Los Angeles, I was a jiu-jitsu player, and so I was a fighter. And so naturally, through college, I felt like I would work doors, and I could make some cash and make some money and help my subsidize, not college bills, but just living, right?
Yeah.
And so from that, I just met a ton of people. And so I felt like I was one of those guys that always knew how to talk to people. I was a small guy, even though I was a fighter, and it was never my like ambition to go and hurt people, right? So I knew how to talk people, and I knew how to de-escalate situations. Mm-hmm. And I knew how to just, from there though, I really built a lot of relationships, and I had built a base of people.
Okay.
From there, I knew I could do something. So we opened up Sakatumi as a first restaurant, which did really, really well out of the gates. There was so much hype and anticipation behind it that I had 2-hour waits on Tuesdays. It was crazy. I learned a lot. I didn't really know what I was doing at that time, but I knew people, right? From there, moved on to Carnivore, which everybody said you can't compete with, you know, the leading steakhouses. It's too expensive and everything like that, which, you know, there was some truth to that. But, you know, again, if you really know how to take care of people and build relationships, people can be forgiving of certain mistakes. And as long as you show that you care, that's what we're most passionate about, is taking care of people. And really from there, just branched on to several different types of restaurants.
Is there a reason it was the restaurant industry? Is that where your connections were? Or is there something that drew you to a restaurant?
So it actually started with my first project. My aunt approached me and said she needed to obtain an EB-5, which is citizenship. Yeah. So she needed to have a certain percentage of ownership in a business. She chose a restaurant because she was a great Korean cook. And so that's how it all started.
Okay. Yeah. So, and Carnivore has obviously done well. It's very high profile nowadays and is known as one of the better or the best steakhouse in Milwaukee. So you've had some pretty high profile guests in your restaurant before. How have you developed these relationships with athletes and leaders that draw them into your restaurant?
Yeah, I mean, I never from day one said, hey, I want to get to know, you know, high powered people, wealthy athletes. It just wasn't. I've always been hospitable. Mm-hmm. I always enjoyed taking care of people. I feel like I've always been good to people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just one by one. And when we know how to take care of people, you build relationships. And over time, the word gets out.
Yeah.
You know, if you take care of some high powered CEO that's in a business meeting and is not being constantly disrupted, then they really appreciate that. And the same thing goes for the athletes, right? I mean, they're people. I mean, they don't want to be walked up to every 5 minutes for a picture or whatever else. And we really respect that. And that's our culture. But at the same time, our culture is if there's a baseball game and, you know, a lot of the opposing team just love Carnivore.
Mm-hmm.
We usually close at 10 o'clock. We'll stay up until midnight for the team to come in afterwards and have dinner. And so that culture that we built there that they appreciate tremendously. And naturally, then you just build friendships from there.
Right. Well, and Milwaukee's a small, tight-knit community, and these professional athletes are in a community of their own. So through word of mouth, your reputation picks up steam and it travels quickly. So I'm sure you rely a lot on referrals and just people relaying their experience at your restaurant.
Yeah. In the beginning, I mean, it was pretty cool for me, right? I was like, oh my gosh, this star athlete came in. Like, wow. You know, it's, I never was one of those guys that like, I always look at people the same. I mean, if you have a lot more money, then you have a lot more money than me.
Right.
If you're better in baseball or football than me, you're better. But we're all people, right? And so it's like I've been able to connect just with that mindset. I never looked at anyone being better than me or worse or whatever else. But, you know, when you get to be closer with some of the star type players, people take notice. And then a lot of the younger guys want to get to know you. And so in the beginning of the career, it's sort of like, wow, you're meeting these cool athletes. Let's meet more, right? But it really turns out to be, as time went on, a lot of the younger athletes, oh, let me get to know him, right? Because you've gained the trust of a lot of the guys, and you know how to take care of them.
And I'm sure those guys spend so much time talking about their profession and whatever they're doing on the field or on the court or wherever. And if you just treat them as a genuine, you know, have a genuine conversation with them and treat them as another human being and talk about something else, they'll really appreciate that.
Yeah, I can't talk sports with them, to tell you the truth, not at that level. And so we never do. And so I tend to bond with the guys that like really want to take part in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And opposing team too, meet a lot of those guys. They're just good people, right? But I do tend to bond with the guys, the people that love this city, that really want to give back to the city, that are more business minded, because now some of them are coming into our deals. And so it just, you know, more in common.
Yeah. So it, you know, it's been a tough year, but the world is starting to open up again. And I know particularly the restaurant industry really had to adjust to make a lot of changes this past year. Yeah. What did you do at Carnivore in particular? And what are you seeing across the restaurant industry? I know you've been somewhat of a spokesperson for the whole restaurant industry.
Yeah, you know, we worked really hard. We did a ton of research from the beginning of the pandemic, brought on Steve Boss from MMAC and formed a group with a lot of operators, because a lot of the talk in the beginning where the health department had a scientist or a doctor on board, but didn't have any discussion coming from the operators, right? And so we put together a group and started working with the health department and helped shape, I think it was a 58-page criteria document that really laid out a very safe plan and to keep all of our customers and staff safe. And so we're pretty proud of that, abided by it religiously. Like you said, I kind of was the face of all of this. And so I didn't want egg on my face. And, you know, it's tempting because you're turning down at weekends sometimes more than you can take because we're limited to 50%. And it's really hard to cover your bills at 50% revenue when our landlord wants 100%. So does our food company and liquor companies, right? And so it's been a tough time, but I think the fact that we stuck to our guns, you know, we did business with ethics and we really kept the public safe. People respected that and they trusted us. So Carnivore has been pretty solid through the pandemic.
Yeah. No, I think people are going to respect that you were working as hard as you possibly could to get through this and get through it the right way. And you have a lot of people here in Milwaukee that appreciate and love their restaurants. So they're going to do whatever it takes to support a restaurant like yours. So, you know, what are some things that, some of the changes that you made that you think will last beyond the pandemic, or are there any? Are you trying to just get back to the way things were in 2019?
I mean, I hope business gets back to the way it was in 2019, but we're certainly always going to, I think it'll always sort of stick with us. You know, we've just gotten a lot sharper in terms of how we operate the business, how we operate it and overlook our costs. I mean, you know, we've never really had to, well, we've always run it tightly, but during these times when you have so much decreased revenue, you have to really be a sharp operator and innovative. And I think a lot of the sharp and smart operators will make it through to the other side and be in a really good position.
Right. So moving on a little bit to another one of your ventures, The Avenue and Third Street Market Hall. And so this is your latest project, Third Street Market Hall, one of your many. You know, Exonia Bank was lucky enough to be part of the project, providing some of the construction financing for The Avenue. But tell us what we can look forward to in The Avenue and the Third Street Market Hall, and when we can look forward to, you know, going in there and enjoying it.
Yeah, for sure. So in terms of The Avenue, yes, I am a small equity partner in the real estate. I don't want to sit here and act like it was my vision or I'm the money behind it. Like, you guys have played a very large role in all of it. And, you know, Josh and Tony, and in particular, Josh Krznak has done these types of things before. So, you know, it's just such a creative and cool space. And so there's so many people with sentimental memories, and you hear it every time people walk into there about what their childhood and looking forward to coming to The Avenue. And our whole motto is bringing it back to life. And so I think that we are one of the most amenitized buildings around. It's just so such a cool space. And with, you know, 1800 plus parking spots attached to it, being, if you ping the center of downtown, that it is The Avenue, along with the biggest amenity is Third Street Market Hall.
Right.
And we spent 2 years traveling the country, going to the best food halls in the country, behind the scenes tours from the best food hall operators in the country. We went to several gaming facilities where we got a lot of ideas to incorporate a lot of activities and games within a food hall. So I think what we're bringing is a product that's totally unique. And I think that we're going to be rated don't quote me, but I really believe will be considered a top five food hall in the country.
Wow, that's great.
You know, surrounded by 2 million square feet of office space. Mm-hmm. The convention center is across the street, doing a $425 million completion of that. More hotel growth will happen. Pfizer Forum, Bucks Hotel, Symphony, all the surrounding corporations, over 2,000 keys within a block, like hotel-wise. We like our chances over there. We just have to prove that we can operate it well, right? The people will come. When people come back to work, people can't wait half an hour for food.
No, and there's a lot of action there, as you just described all those things. And in order to create a successful food hall, as you've toured, you know, many food halls across the country, I'm sure you see it takes a lot of creativity, but also takes a lot of density. And, you know, you touched on it a little bit before, but that area, West Wisconsin Avenue, and where you know, the Grand Avenue Mall was, it became a bit of a dead zone for Milwaukee for a while, right? You know, to put it lightly.
So, put it lightly, yes.
Yeah, and now it was in major need of a makeover. So it takes someone who has a vision to absolutely transform that area, like Josh and Tony and you have. And I think being able to activate that space will make Milwaukee a much more attractive place to be. It'll make it more attractive for big name companies to move to Milwaukee and make it a place for, you know, people to work and enjoy their lives.
Without a doubt. I mean, and that's the whole idea behind all of this. And, you know, it's been a pretty, I don't know if you know, it started with Tony asking me to go to dinner 4 or 5 years ago and pitched me on consulting for a food hall because they had an overall vision for the project. And I was thinking of my next move. You know, I kind of wasn't in the best place, to tell you the truth. And I thought to myself, Tony seems like a really good guy, bought him dinner, but that's not my next move, right? In Grand Avenue Mall. And then a year later, Josh reached out and Tony reached out and gave me a tour and gave me the vision of the project. And I was already working on reorganizing Visit Milwaukee, which is attached mm-hmm. to it. I was working on bringing a new CEO to run the Wisconsin Center District and working on really the convention center completion, you know, that spent like 2-3 years of my life with a lot of really smart people. It wasn't just me to get that done. So I was working on West of the River quite a bit myself. Mm-hmm. And so it just made sense to join their efforts and do something just incredible.
Yeah.
Because I think that's going to change. I really believe that this project is going to change downtown.
Yeah. It's going to change downtown. It's going to make it a place to visit, but it's also going to really highlight some local businesses in the area. Can you talk a little bit about what sort of restaurants you're thinking about putting in there, and will they be local restaurants or?
So it's all local, all yeah. local restaurants, all local ingredients. We're operating the bar, which is going to be a 48-person central bar mm-hmm. with a lot of local ingredients and just a lot of Wisconsin favorites. We're bringing in just some really smart operators. You know, I can't talk about all of them yet because they want to make their own announcements. We're going to announce together, but I can tell you from a culinary standpoint, we're going to have some incredible talent there. A lot of almost everything made from scratch there. And I mean, the food is just going to be... It's going to be incredible.
Every type of cuisine you can imagine, right?
Yeah. Hopefully we get to that point. I mean, there's a lot of cuisines out there, but we have a good representation of what I call our different cuisines and cultures mm-hmm. to start. But along with that, there's just going to be so much to do there. Our difference with us and what we're doing there is public market is great. I mean, if we could do half of their numbers, we're doing pretty good, right? But to me, that serves a purpose, and it's more transactional to go in and go out, right? And so it's not really a hangout place. Ours is going to be a little different, right? It can be transactional, but it's going to be experiential. With a massive bar like that and a lot of breakout space and banquet areas and areas to play snookball, areas to play shuffle puck, top golf, selfie museum. There's so much to do there that we want people hanging out and staying there. And so when we went to New York, we went to a place called DeKalb, and it was the only one that was experiential that we were like there for 2 hours. A lot of the other food halls were just conducive for lunch, in and out. And we wanted this to be sort of the living room of Milwaukee, where people could meet people, families could come hang out, people can do business, opposing teams can do lunch. I mean, name it. I wanted to cover all bases.
Yeah, I think, well, you'll have a little bit of both. You'll have different clientele throughout the week.
100%.
During the week, during lunch hours, you'll have your more transactional downtown employees who are coming in to grab a quick bite. And then in the evenings, you'll have your happy hour meetings there yep. from different companies, especially exactly. those that are officed in the avenue.
Exactly.
And then on the weekends, you'll have more families and people who are coming down there to enjoy all the amenities.
100%. Yeah. Spot on.
Yeah. Do we have a date that we can look forward to? Not a specific date, but this summer?
Yeah, it'll be the summer for sure. Probably leaning towards the latter part of summer. There's a lot of moving parts, and right now we didn't like realize that some metal and wood has such long lead times. And, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah.
You'll see a dramatic change within the next 30, 45 days in there.
Great. And then on to our third topic. So one of the other things that you're involved in is building a new state-of-the-art Wisconsin Convention Center. So how is this coming along, and how did you become involved with that project? Well,
I was chairman of Visit Milwaukee, and so that I knew that we needed the third phase of the convention center done. It's a massive project. It sat stagnant for about 20 years. Nobody thought we can get it done. I love taking on those projects.
Yeah.
And that's what attracted me to the mm-hmm. Avenue too, is because nobody thought we could turn it around, right? And so it was a lot of work meeting with a lot of legislators. Listen, Steve Boss, MMAC, Buddy Julius from the firm, you know, Paul Upchurch was involved in it, Jim Cantor. I mean, there's just so many, even from Flaherty, Marcus, Fagan, a lot of really smart people involved in it. But it really came down to negotiations with Robin Voss, with Jeff Fitzgerald. Chris Abley played a role at the county, and just a lot of negotiation, and finally got it done. It was not an easy process, but we were mm-hmm. able to get $20 million from the state for the moral obligation to be able to bond out for it. And then I simultaneously in the beginning had brought on Marty Brooks, worked with Scott Neitzel there and John Yinling to bring in Marty Brooks. And they were a big part of all this too, we needed a CEO that could really operate
sure.
something of this magnitude. Now it's kind of passed on a local level and turned over to Marty. I'm on his board, the Wisconsin Center District, but Marty and Jim Cantor and team and Icon are all really working on it now.
So what's the vision for this convention center into the future? You know, it seemed like leading into 2020, we had a lot of momentum as a city with mm-hmm. DNC, New Bucks right. Arena, and Milwaukee being a destination for conventions and people to travel to.
Yeah.
Can we keep that perception alive? And, you know, this convention
Absolutely.
Center is a huge part of that.
I really believe we can, because we have all the attributes, right? And so, you know, Alex Lazary played a massive role in landing the DNC, but we had to have a lot of people behind him and the attributes to win it. And I think that once we get past this pandemic, we have a lot to sell. And
sure.
so, you know, right now we're in the bottom third percentile for size for convention centers. We're losing to a lot of cities that we shouldn't, even though we were still booking a lot of conventions here. We'll be at 50 percentile. We've been even playing field, and we'll have a new convention center that will match the old convention center and be on an even playing field and be able to book a lot of conventions. And it's going to stay relevant for decades, because mm-hmm. what they're doing and how they're building it is going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
Right next to, obviously, close to the Fiserv Forum, and everything happening west of the river is insane.
Right.
It's going to be the coolest area in a year to two and on.
Yeah. I always say, just as a lifelong resident of Milwaukee, having grown up here, I know and I understand how cool of a city Milwaukee is and how great it is and all the progress we're making and all there is to do here and enjoy. And I want everyone outside of the city to recognize the same exact thing. So we need to, you know, keep building, keep growing, keep developing these new great ideas like the Avenue, like the Convention Center, to put the spotlight on Milwaukee and make sure everyone knows this is a great place to live and you know, good paying jobs here.
Yep.
It's affordable living, and you know, there's plenty to do. It's the city of festivals, so
100%. And there's other, like the Couture is happening, and that's a massive project that's going to be really cool. The MAC is happening. Just a lot of really cool stuff that continues to happen. And I'm with you. I feel exactly the same. And you know what? You're seeing a lot more pride in Milwaukee. 10 years ago, people just didn't have pride
right.
in being living in Milwaukee, right? And so now you're seeing MKE Home, and you're seeing people really. There's a lot to be proud of.
I think there
of.
Is a lot of Milwaukee
and I
pride.
I mean, I don't think it hurts from a Wisconsin standpoint to have three MVPs too.
Right. That
you know,
does help.
It's massive to be, you know, to get behind these guys and watch, you know, our teams do well.
And they're involved in things going on in the city as well. And we
absolutely.
Need that.
Yeah.
We need people to help us get excited. And I mean, that's what we're doing at the bank also, having just put our offices in downtown Milwaukee. About a year and a half ago, we'd always had customers in the Milwaukee area and done business in the area, but never had a physical location. And now that we're here, we're trying to jump out and get involved and help grow our local business community and be a player in the area. So one of the reasons we wanted to get involved with you guys at the Avenue, we're looking forward to continuing that.
You guys have been a phenomenal partner. So we're really having a lot of fun doing it too.
Yeah.
You know? And so, such a cool project.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Omar. Well, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah.
And you got a lot going on, a lot on your plate, but a lot of exciting things up ahead. So
awesome.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll be sharing more stories in the episodes ahead. So if you like the information you heard today, please make sure to hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Wishing you all continued success. We'll talk to you soon.